So let's start talking about marketing in general. And of course, a broken record that you and I have been for quite a while is, and I freely admit I stole this from Jay Abraham, but we talk about the marketing Parthenon, right? And how many conversations have we had in the last month? And I don't know.
Every single one of them, seems like.
A bunch. And the question is always, what are you doing now for marketing? Yeah. And the answer is...
Well, what they ask is, what's the one thing we can do? They want to know what the one thing
they
can do. Yeah, the magic strategy to get us flooded with clients. And the answer is...
There is none.
There isn't one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or there's 20 of them or 30 of them. And they need to do enough of them that they have robust success, not just you know, the one magic thing that they think is going to solve all their problems.
Right, right. And otherwise, really smart people, they say, well, I'm getting all my clients by asking my clients for a referral. Or I'm buying all my advice, I'm buying leads off one lead source and doing a horrible job converting
right.
them, by the way, but
right.
buying them off of one lead source. Or all I'm doing is live meetings and, oh my goodness, that didn't work as well, or it's not working
right.
working as well. And so the starting point with your marketing, in fact, Jeff, who's currently on a cruise, he's not working today like we are.
Yeah.
But he called it, he said, you have an MBA, but really you were an ABM first. I was like, what the hell's an ABM? He said, well, it stands for always be marketing, always be marketing. And that's right. See, I think, you know, most financial advisors, they think their job is understanding taxes and investments and having in-depth conversations with people about planning their, you know, their retirement. But the reality is the technical stuff is the easy part. The important part is to always be marketing to your desired audience, to be always working on getting your message out, always be positioning yourself as the authority. And the real job is create and keep a customer. That was Drucker said, you know, every business's only two roles are to create a customer and keep a customer. And that's really what you should be focusing on, right, is create and keep a customer.
Well, and even when one marketing strategy or two marketing strategies are effective, like even if you get an okay lead flow with referrals, we talk to a lot of people and we say, well, how do you get your business? And they're doing okay in their business and they get a lot of, you know, referrals. That's okay, but that can wax and wane. Or maybe they had good success with doing Facebook marketing, let's say. You know, if the government changes their rules about privacy laws, that could totally dry up.
Oh, yeah.
Or for a different variety of reasons, that may work. Apple could kill them off. That's happened in the past, and it could happen. It could dramatically change in the future. So there's a lot of different reasons that one marketing strategy can work for a while, can be a home run. And we've got a lot of home run strategies that we can help with, but they may work or they may not. We've got a lot of strategies that can work with live events that are different from these dinner type of events that are great, either online or offline. And they can be a huge home run, or they may not work one month or 1 week. So the problem with being dependent on one or two strategies is that even the best ones may work or they may not. So you have to have enough of them so that you're a healthy business. You have a healthy practice, and you have enough people coming in that you can be comfortable with the type of clients that you have, and you can market then to the better clients or the clients that you want to work with. Maybe you want to work with clients that have higher assets under your belt. That you can work with people that you like to work with. Maybe you want to work with people that are in a certain niche. You want to work with doctors, or you want to work with dentists, or you want to work with, we have one of our clients that works with contractors. That's perfectly okay if that's the kind of client you want to work with. But you have to be good at marketing to be able to do that and have the right lifestyle that you want to have. So these all tie together to create the kind of business that you want to have.
Well, and something you've touched on is, I don't know how many people we've talked to who more or less are complaining about the quality of the clients that they have.
Yeah, right? It happens. That's the second thing. What's the one marketing magic pill? And then, man, I'm pissed off about the clients. I'm really frustrated with them. That's a big complaint we have.
You know, and to give Dan Kennedy credit, his line is, well, there's always another bus coming. So if they don't buy, if they're not the right person, if they're not qualified, there's another bus coming, they're going to unload, and I have another group of people to work with. But if you're not good at marketing, see, I've always looked at it as I only want to surround myself with people who are a joy to the spirit, who I want to work with. I want to be able to, you know, not even ask that they become a client if I don't think they're going to be a good fit. And I stole this from Tom Peters years ago. He talked about, in fact, it was a CPA firm, I think. They went through their client roster and basically fired the bottom 20%. And all of a sudden, everybody was happier. The clients were happier. They're getting more referrals. Their, you know, their revenue went up. Everything else went up. And I've done that with my businesses over the years. It's been controversial when I tell somebody about it, but it's always getting rid of the ones, because it's 80-20 rule, right? Is 80% of your problems are the bottom 20%.
Absolutely.
In fact, 90% of your problems are probably the bottom 5%.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was gonna
Yeah,
and all the frustrations and headaches and heartaches that you have are those few people at the bottom. And if you're not good at marketing and you don't have much lead flow, you know, you're desperate to keep them, frankly.
Yeah. So the element of one being really good at all the tactics, the individual pieces, whether it's a live event, whether it's a webinar, whether it's a referral systems and so forth, being really good at that, plus having a lot of those. Because see, the thing with a lot of them is, you know, we talk about Murphy's Law. Everybody knows about Murphy's Law, but they don't realize it's like a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Is, so if I have like all of my, this was always my experience from Tulsa, Oklahoma and Colorado, is if I had the big live event all set up and it's going to be great, it's going to be fabulous, guess what? Tornadoes,
yep,
or blizzard, right? So in Colorado we have both, but yeah. In Oklahoma it was tornadoes. But that's the deal, is that, oh wow, I've got 20 prospects showing up, you know, we got a tornado warning coming in. Webinars are going to be the same thing, right? We've got a great webinar. It's all set up. Everything goes, and your internet goes out.
Right.
Well, remember the one we had? I'm looking for a Starbucks.
Right.
In order to set up and do the webinar, because the power went out and the internet went out and all of that in the big event. But the thing is, you have a lot of stuff going on. You're not dependent upon that one thing working. You're not dependent upon the one referral event. You're not dependent upon the one big deal you're going to close. You have a palette of prospects. You have people to choose from. You can be selective. You can pick and choose. And it's the thing, I think, also where people are really afraid of niching. Is they go, oh my God, I got to get everybody I can get.
And mm-hmm.
If I'm targeting doctors and a CPA comes in, you know, that's a problem. Well, no, that's not. They don't understand the idea. But they're afraid of really targeting in and creating, you know, again, what Kennedy would call that avatar, you know, creating that avatar client and then only taking the ones that fit their model.
Yeah, I think that the idea that it's almost coming out of a fear of desperation. We don't want to run our business out of a fear of scarcity. We want to run it out of a fear of abundance. How you do that is have enough things happen.
Out of an expectation.
Or out of an expectation of abundance. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of an
Most
expectation.
Most people are fearful of abundance.
Right. Out of an expectation of abundance that there's going to be enough leads coming in. How do you do that? Have enough marketing things. But what we also have to help our clients with, that we work with, is making sure that each of the strategies that we help you with are effective. So we just had Tuesday at one of our group meetings, somebody that was pretty good at live events, but very ineffective at getting all the efficiencies happening so that people showed up at their live events. So the marketing happened out of all the 20 or 30 things that you're going to do. We want to make sure that each of those are as effective as possible. That way you feel good about doing all the 20 things. Because what a lot of people end up having happen is they say to us, well, yeah, but we tried that. It doesn't work. Well, yeah, because you missed the little pieces. You missed the little pieces in the activity that made all the difference in the world. So,
well, as you know, I irritate a huge number of people I talk to the first time. But the first question is always, you know, what have you done in the past? What were the results? What should you do? And I've had several conversations where people say, well, I don't want to do that anymore. It's like, well, I understand, but tell me, I mean, how many leads did you get? How many did you turn into appointments? How many of those did you actually have a meeting with? How qualified were there? How many turned into a client? And you know the deal, 98% of them, whatever the point was where they got a prospect is they screwed up the rest of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Even if when I sit down face to face with somebody, I close most of them, the rest of the stuff was all FUBAR.
Yeah, and there's this idea that, oh, if I get the person in the door, I don't have any problems, but everything else is, you know, it's the marketing that's weak.
And I'm getting flaky people.
Yeah, I'm getting flaky people.
They're not serious.
And in almost all cases, it's flaws in the earlier part of the system. And the thing is, in most cases, that doesn't require any more work to do correctly. It doesn't require any more money to do correctly. What it requires is the know-how and the proper strategies. And I think you say it really well. The difference between a really successful business and a unsuccessful business in a lot of cases is, you know, they're both working really hard, but the one that does better has the better strategy.
Yeah.
And the better strategy is more marketing activities and then each of those being done correctly. Because, yeah, you know, I can understand a business not wanting to do something like these guys are saying, oh, I tried that, I didn't work. Well, yeah, if you didn't do it right, then you're not gonna want to do 20 marketing activities every month because they're not giving you results.
And it may have been a bad strategy, but probably the tactics on implementing were could have been improved dramatically.
Right. And we see that just time and again. And when we can, excuse me, tweak that a little bit. Sorry about that.
You have water.
Got a lot of allergies here for me. We tweak that a little bit, then the results can 10 times, 10 times or 100 times sometimes.
This is a beautiful setting, though. We're we didn't say it, but we're here at the U.S. Naval Academy. In Annapolis, Maryland, and one of the things we do with our high-level clients, and really at that level, they're dealing with staff, they're developing perhaps many advisors underneath them, they have support staff, is we do high-level leadership training, and we've done that at Disney and at West Point and here at Annapolis and I mean a bunch of other behind the scenes.
We've got some really successful businesses, even one really successful hair salon that had locations that did millions and millions of dollars at a hair salon. But we find these places that do that are exceptional examples of leadership and exceptional examples of business. So that our clients that we work with can see what they're doing and then morph those ideas into their own business so they can be more successful. And what we find is these are very translatable things. In particular, this is one of our favorites at Annapolis because the Naval Academy is just, it's an inspiring experience. And what we also find is that when they go back to their own practice the next week, they just start making more money automatically because they're so motivated. Yeah.
But going back to our subject, now that I changed it, but again, Dan Kennedy basically says, once you go in a business for yourself, is you're now forever and a day in the business of marketing whatever it is you're doing, not doing the thing. And that's, again, what I think financial advisors miss is, you know, you go get the alphabet soup of designations and you get licensed for everything in the world and one thing or another, but it's not the expert at investing that's valuable. It's the person who can put the clients in the room and the person who can put the systems in place to keep the clients and multiply the clients by turning it into referrals, so retention referrals. And you really have to be, and this is again, you and I are having this conversation yesterday, advisors want to abdicate the marketing to somebody else, right? Is they want it to be, you're my guy for LinkedIn and you're gonna go get me clients from LinkedIn. You're my guy for Facebook, you're gonna get me clients from Facebook. Well, really what they need to do is they need to figure out that they're in business to create and keep a customer, create and keep a client. They need to really master the marketing, master understanding the process. And that doesn't mean they have to go in, I mean, you and I don't do this, to go in and spend an hour a day putzing around.
Yeah, they don't have to turn into programmers
or
experts, and they can't outsource it, but they have to be smart and understand this stuff enough to be able to intelligently outsource the
delegate, work. Not abdicate.
Exactly. But understand what the results are for marketing and understand the numbers. And we're going to follow up with this with some other work that we're going to teach everybody about in another segment. but understand the marketing well enough so that they know the results. Because tossing money over a wall and hoping that the person they're tossing the money to is going to throw leads back at them is not a good strategy.
Yeah. Well, and so to take a breath, when you're responsible for your own outcomes, you're not on salary with somebody doing the technical aspects behind the scenes, but when you're really there as a producer, you've got to create your own business. Is you've got to take every morning. My version of it is Starbucks, or it was until the noise level got too high for me to deal with. But is to blank legal pad. I always have these notebooks around, blank pad. And you sit down, you start every day with, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do this week? What am I going to do this month? What's my quarterly, what's my annual marketing plan look like? And you start every day looking at what your new client flow is and focusing on what the right strategies are and what the tactical implementation pieces are to keep my client flow. And then you go to bed at night and you put your subconscious to work on what are the things that we need to do to grow this, and you let it come up with the answers overnight. And that's what I think it's missing is, how many advisors' office we sit there and we watch staff meetings and we watch how things go, and they come in and they're talking about Mr. Jones needs to move this thing from this account to this account, and let's send him the report and let's do this, and then I'm going to have a meeting with them and show them what the returns are. But none of the conversation's about where are our referrals coming from? Where are our new clients coming from? Where's our flow? One of the most successful ones that we ever worked with, you'd walk in, and he had a little bit of a staff, and so you'd walk in, and behind his reception desk, there was just an 8.5 by 11 blank piece of paper, and it had a number written on it. And clients didn't know what the number was, but it's just like stuck up on the wall there. And I remember Keith, right?
Yeah.
And I asked Keith one time, what the hell is that? He goes, that's how many clients we have in our pipeline at any one time. And I said, okay, why is that there? He goes, well, we know what our benchmark is. In his case, it was 20. If we have 20 or more in the pipeline, we're good. And if it's less than 20, we're panicked. And so if I came in one day and it's 12, well, we're going to have, everybody gets together, we're going to have a huddle, and we're going to figure out what do we need to do today to fix that and make that back to 20 here in the next 48 hours. But just that is knowing what your pipeline looks like, knowing how many appointments you have set, knowing how many new clients you have that are going to close this month, knowing how many people have raised their hands and have come new into the pipeline. Most people don't even think that way.
Well, and that's something very operational that if you're listening to this right now, whether you're a one-person show or a bigger operation, you can think about that. How many new clients do you need to have in the pipeline every month? And frequently the number that we hear is just exceptionally low. It might be one new client every month. That'd be 12 a year. And that's pretty anemic, frankly, for what can be accomplished. And so when we ask somebody where they want to get their assets under management from now till the end of the year, that's the number. Then you back that off to how many clients you need to get in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And some of our clients are getting 10 new a month every month. That's all doable numbers if you have the right marketing strategies in place. Yeah. But at least right now, have that number in mind. Because if you don't have that number in mind, you're kind of guessing. You're just hoping. You're throwing it to the wind. And if you get zero, you get zero. If you get one, you get one. If you get three, you get three. And you're going to end up having whatever results you get. And that's just not it's a very stressful way to live.
Well, and you bring up a topic for a different time, but understanding the math, understanding the marketing math, right?
Yeah, we're going to go through that later in another segment.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know what the lifetime value is, what the current year value is going to be, how much money is going to come in immediately. That backs its way through of what each new client is worth. You start with what your end in mind is. So, what do we want the revenue to be this month, this year? What do we want the assets under management to be? So our reoccurring revenue to be. But again, if you don't think that way, right? If you think, oh, well, I have three client meetings, I'll ask them for a friend referral. Well, I've never seen you, and I've worked in a bunch of different industries and niches. I've never seen anybody so dependent upon, well, I'm just going to ask by, each time I have a client meeting, I'm going to ask them for who their friends are. Mm-hmm. And referrals are a great source, but it's not, that's not the right strategy, right? It's
yeah, and your clients aren't very good at going and asking other people for to come in and be your new clients.
Well, and nobody wants, it's like dating, right? I'll get myself in trouble if I go too far on this,
yeah.
But you know, it's why the old thing is you know, married men with a ring attract more than otherwise. Is nobody wants desperate. Nobody wants somebody who's desperate for clientele.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I refer my friends to the restaurant where it took me 3 months to get a reservation. I don't go to the place that looks like they haven't had a customer in three months, no matter how good the food is. And you want to be busy, and you want to not look desperate, and you want to not be begging, and you want to have them excited about what a expert you are and what a great find this is, not be like begging them for referrals.
Right.
And so we put together those strategies and tactics. But again, it's so interesting, the limitation in mindset. And again, you and I subscribe to everybody's newsletters, and we get all the magazines, and it's all about the technical crap, right? It's, you know, here's how to deal with 401ks, here's how to deal with IRAs, and here's how to deal with this new tax regulation. Well, all that stuff is important. It's not that you don't have to understand that, but what the important thing about growing your business is, create a new customer and keep the ones you've gotten. And in this industry, keeping them isn't typically the hard part. It's people don't ever understand how to get them.
Yeah, and the reason we're not saying those things aren't important, but this is the area where everybody's got a big hole.
Yeah.
This is the area where everybody's lacking that we talk to. And it's the area that's holding you back from your business and your lifestyle and everything that you're looking for being the way it needs to be. So that's why we're emphasizing it so much as we're talking about it. And we're going to talk about the specific strategies in other segments. But this concept, this idea that you've got to have enough things going on is what you've got to get first. That there needs to be enough things in your marketing plan. So we'll help you with that, with having enough things in your marketing plan. And then also how to have time to be able to fit these things in. Because some of you might be thinking, well, gee, you know, I don't have time right now. How am I going to fit, you know, 20 times more things in my strategy? But we can help you with that so that it would all fit. What we want you ultimately to have is making more money but have a better lifestyle as well.
Yeah, yeah. And again, to steal from Jay Abraham, he has a great line, which is most people's marketing is episodic, not systematic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
freak out for a while.
Yeah.
I kind of call it freak out. It's the beginning of the month, and oh crap, I don't have any marketing, so I freak out and do some stuff.
Yeah.
And also, frankly, when we ask people, you know, what are you doing for marketing? Well, I get stuff by word of mouth. A lot of times, that just means they're doing nothing.
Nothing. Yes.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Every now and then, a client brings down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not really even active asking people for referrals. They just run their business, and they started their business, you know, so sort of the format of a
even
lot of the businesses.
Even a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, maybe when you started, you had no clients, so you went out and asked your friends and asked everybody you possibly could. You got enough to come in, and then eventually people start popping in once in a while. You know, that's just never going to be a growth situation.
Yeah.
No matter how good you are, that's the really shame in all this. We've met a lot of people who are fantastic and have a lot to offer and are uniquely good in their niche and in their capabilities, but yet that's unfortunately not good enough. It's never going to be good enough, no matter how good you are, unless you can market yourself.
Yeah.
You could be the best author, you could be the best financial advisor, you could be the best anything, and it's almost any kind of industry, that's never good enough unless you're good at marketing.
Yeah, and there was on the episodic versus systematic, I was having a conversation with Peter, you know Peter. But he's got, you know, he's making $1 million a year, more or less, personal income, he's got a little bit of a staff. built up one thing or another. But we were having a conversation about, you know, accelerating his marketing, obviously. And I said, so what are you doing to generate referrals? He goes, well, what do you mean? I try to remember to ask. Yeah, it's like, well, okay, well, let me rephrase
that. That means he doesn't really ask, but go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I said, let me rephrase the question. We find that having events, having a customer appreciation event that they can bring their friends to, having some other kind of event, having a webinar that they can invite their friends to on topics their friends might be interested in. And I started going through a list, mm-hmm. you know, and it was like, oh, I hit one. He said, oh, I did that. I said, did what? Well, I had a customer appreciation event. I have a friend that has an art gallery, and we had it at the art gallery. I said, great. How'd that work? He goes, oh, it was great. The clients loved it, and I got several clients out of it. I said, great. Well, when's the last one? That was like 8 years ago.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, when's the next one scheduled? And he goes, well, okay, fine. Well, why didn't
doesn't
you
have
do,
it scheduled.
Why didn't you do another one? He goes, well, that was a lot of hard work. I said, well, don't you understand? Like, I used to run the biggest martial arts tournaments in the world. Well, the first one was a bitch, right? The second one was hard. The third time, we had the checklist, and I had staff. So it's like, you take this part, you take this part, we'll have a meeting on Friday and make sure it's all done. And I showed up and went to get people coffee. I mean, that was it. And then I had that conversation. I said, well, you got the location, you've got, did you get a good turnout? Great. How did you do it? Okay, well, that wasn't too bad. We could plus it. But how did you convert people to clients? Well, they just asked. I said, well, we can fix that too. But did you get some clients?
It worked really good anyway, and we could make it better.
Yeah.
And we could make it easier.
And we could do it twice a year.
And the art gallery guy probably loved it too because he got a bunch of people coming.
Well, he comped in the facility. We were having the conversation.
Well, he probably sold some art too.
Everybody
loved it. There was nothing negative in the entire thing except he complained about the work.
Than he did it once.
Yeah, well, right. But he complained about the hard work.
Yeah.
But we could fix that too.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But
that's pretty common. Yeah. I did this. It worked really good, actually. This is one of the, but then you still don't do it again.
Yep. And that should be, we try to have two or three client referral events a month.
Right.
And some of them are automated. It's a webinar that's pretend live. Some of them are real.
Once you build those out, it takes a little bit of work to build them out. Once you build them out, they can be, for the most part, not much work at all to continue.
Yeah. But we try to have, three or four, or at least one or two client referral events that are happening per month. And the reason for multiple is they all have a little different target audience, mm-hmm. right? If I had 250 clients, I'm going to have some that have friends who need college planning and some that need, what do you call it? Succession planning.
Estate planning.
But they're all different kinds of needs. So if you have different topics for different segments of the audience that they're invited to bring their friends to, and again, that's just one strategy where we have, seven or eight referral mm-hmm. strategies that don't involve just sitting down and asking.
Well, and it depends on what your niche is, too. Depending on what your niche is, then we want to figure out which strategy is going to work.
Yeah, meaning you're working with dentists, you're working with tech people, you're working with
employees. Yeah, and that's an important thing to with each client, we have to figure out what yours is. A lot of times people ask us, okay, just what is the thing you do?
Yeah.
It, like, as if we're going to pull something out of our pocket and hand you the thing. And that's not the best thing for you, is to take a cookbook thing that's off the shelf, because that doesn't, and we're going to talk a little bit about building out your personality too in another segment, but it doesn't speak to your uniqueness. Otherwise, if we gave everybody we worked with just a cookbook of strategies, then even though some of these things that we're talking about are common, it wouldn't make you show up against the other, thousands and thousands of other people in your industry. You have to show up uniquely to your current clients, to the new prospects that you'd have.
I was talking to Dan Kennedy about financial advisors, and he pulled a reference that I wasn't familiar with, I have to admit, is he said, it's just like the theme song of Weeds. Do you know the theme song?
I don't know the theme song. You mentioned this to me.
Well, I didn't. I had to go, I went and YouTubed it and looked at the lyrics. But basically, it's ticky-tacky, little houses. The theme of the theme song is everybody being the same. whole bunch of little houses with ticky-tacky that are all the same.
Yeah.
But that's my financial advisors. To steal from Tom Peters, I hate to quote all the books I've read over the years, but Tom Peters called it having a mission statement that we're no worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
In fact, I heard Michael Kitchen say, it's a horrible strategy to have them pick you by zip code.
Right.
Right. But hey, we're going to run out of time here. Let's summarize. Is you got to have a lot of things going on. In part, you have to have a lot of things going on because Murphy's Law is real, and even the best strategy with the best tactics are going to run into the blizzard, the tornado warning, the internet glitch, whatever it might be. And frankly, sometimes they just don't work. I mean, we get great results from Facebook, but every month is a little bit different,
yeah.
Right? So you gotta have a lot of things going on. We call that the Parthenon, having a lot of pillars driving the traffic. And depending upon how many new clients you want per month, I've always said if you want 20 new clients a month, have 20 different things going on. I like to have 20 different things going on, even if you only need 3 or 4 real high value ones. But have a lot of things going on. Make sure that you have each one, the strategy and the tactics put together. And end every night and start every morning with, where are we in our client flow? What do we need to be doing to keep that client throw where it needs to be going, and focus on marketing every day, the beginning of the day, the end of the day, and as Dan Kennedy would say, never end a day without doing at least one thing to try to generate a new client. On that, we probably should call it a...
Yeah. If you keep that up and do that consistently, that's going to be the start of being successful, and we'll follow up with some other specific strategies as we do some more of these workshops with you.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, 31 and a half.
Good.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
That's good for us.
Are you just going to cut it when you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.